Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fangirl Podcast. It has been a hot minute since I've recorded a new episode. I've been super busy with work and life and, you know, all that jazz, but we are back today with a very special episode. We're talking about Britney Spears today, and I'm very excited for this episode, not only because I love Britney, but because she's been in the news recently and she is trying to get her conservatorship revoked. And we're going to go into all of the details about that. We're going to talk about what that means. We're going to talk about Free Britney. And we're going to talk about Britney's legacy on pop music. So very excited to be here today chatting about the princess of pop. I have a very special guest on the show with me as well. She is a dog mom. She is a resident Vermonter, a recently married woman, and a huge Britney fan. Please welcome to the show, Kyla.
Woohoo! Hello!
Hey, Kyla. How's it going?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, congratulations. You just got married.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a month. I'm an old married lady.
Wow.
Yep.
That's amazing. Yep. Any lessons you've learned in the first month of marriage?
It's the same. It feels like the same.
Yep.
We've been living together for a little over a year now, so not much has changed.
Nice, except you're legally bound to each other forever now.
Exactly. Yep. It's official.
Made it a fifth. Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, congrats. I'm so glad you're here for the show today.
Thanks.
There's so many things we got to talk about today in the show. We got to talk about Britney, her life, her early career, her music. I want to know all about your experience with Britney. So we're just going to dive right in. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today in the show. So, Britney Jean Spears was born December 2nd, 1981 in Mississippi. She grew up in Kentwood, Louisiana, very small town on the border of Louisiana and Mississippi. And you guys probably know this. She was a child star from the age of about 10. She was on the Mickey Mouse Club. She was a Disney kid. She performed in Star Search. She's been singing and dancing her entire life. And Britney's been a big part of my life. I remember hearing Baby One More Time when I was, you know, in high school, maybe 13 or 14 years old. Britney was a little bit older than me. And I just fell in love with her music from the start. So Britney's been around for a long time. She's had a very long career, 25 plus years at this point. And she is fully cemented her place as one of the leading pop stars in modern pop music. I'm a huge fan of Britney. I remember hearing her music back in, I guess I was in middle school, maybe, hearing Baby One More Time, and I was just hooked immediately. So I've always been a big fan of her music. And Kyla, I want to get your take. When was maybe the first time that you heard about Britney, or what was your first reaction to her music?
So I have a couple of different memories, and very vivid, actually. So I remember I was probably nine or 10, and I was at a bowling alley for my friend's birthday. And I remember, you know, like how all the lights would come on, like the fun lights, and like everything would be dark. Mm-hmm. Baby One More Time came on, and I remember being like, what is this? This is awesome. And then I went home, and I remember, of course, like the cool thing to do would be to go downtown and go buy CDs. And so I bought Baby One More Time, and my mom promptly returned it the next day because she was like, this is inappropriate. And that was like, that was traumatic, you know, because like, not only did I couldn't tell my friends. Yes. I was like that kid. So I would like have to sneak it at my friends' houses and like listen to it upstairs on the radio and like burn copies from like my friends. So yeah.
Wow, I can't believe
it was a struggle.
Oh my God.
Yes. She came around after, like, you know, there was only so much she could do after a year or so, but
yeah.
Yep. That's my memory.
That's a great memory. So your mom returned the Baby One More Time CD because she thought it was too, risque for you?
I guess so. Yes, I was like one of those kids that I don't know. I grew up listening to basically what my parents listened to, and then would have to like sneak CDs and stuff. Don't tell them, they won't ever hear this. The secret's safe here. But yes. Yep. It was pretty like, it was traumatic. I was like, I will never tell my friends this.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well,
at all. But it was really funny.
Yeah, I bet your parents probably aren't the only parents that did that, because I think when Britney first came out, she was a teen queen, and then she was seen as like a sex idol, you know, after a while.
Oh, totally. Totally. And I think like that's just, it just speaks to where our culture was at. And it's, yeah, I mean, there you go. There you have it. I think that's.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Some insight right there.
Yeah, so your love of Britney started in secret. I guess you had to kind of sneak around to hear Britney music.
Totally, yeah. And it's so funny to think about it now. Like, you hear her songs back from back then. Like, that album is so just, it's so late 90s. Like, just such a croony, cute, poppy, just
so bubblegum
pop. Teen love. So bubblegum pop. And then you hear like stuff today and nobody bats an eye. Well, I guess some people probably do, but it's just hilarious to think like,
yeah,
what was that up, what was considered bad.
Yeah, I'm a Slave for You was risque, and now it's like, you know, Miley Cyrus is just the norm. Nobody,
right? Yeah,
bats an eye. You're right. Yeah. I think Britney, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. Like, I think with her first album, it was very teen dream, very bubblegum pop, very sugary sweet, and she was marketed that way. She was marketed as a nice blonde Southern girl who was a good influence, and she was a good role model. And then I think when her following albums came out, Britney was trying to, I think, be more of herself and, you know, dress the way she wanted to and be more kind of rebellious and sing about the songs she wanted to and dance more provocatively and things like that. And people clutch their pearls and they're like, oh my God, this is Britney Spears. She's a bad role model. She's a role model for our children. I remember like growing up hearing that phrase used all the time. And I was just thinking like, well, Britney, like she doesn't know me. Like, she never asked to be like my role model. Like, let her do
exactly.
Her
yeah. Her life, it's her know? Livelihood. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So it's funny how your parents had that reaction to the first Britney album, because the first album was pretty mild. How did they react to the next?
So mild. You know, it's funny. I don't really remember too much of like that kind of pushback from my parents as I got into middle school more. I think maybe I just learned not to ask.
Yeah.
But also I don't, you know, there was so much going on in the world at that point. And I think like, people probably started realizing like some things weren't as important as they, you know, they yeah. didn't need to be. So
I think so. Yeah. And I think, you know, as Britney got older, she got a little more, I guess you could say, rebellious and wanted to live her life and do her own thing. And she got a lot of pushback for that. But I think over time, our society just kind of adjusted and we kind of just, you know, got accustomed to seeing teen pop stars with like their midriffs out and like dancing provocatively and things like that. So I guess over time we just got accustomed to it, but I think Britney took a lot of heat for all of that when she was a younger performer, when she was, you know, I'm a Slave for You performance at the VMAs, kissing Madonna. Like, she took a lot of heat for that stuff, but
over time
I think we just got used to it.
But also iconic, like, it's totally hard iconic. Because she's the one who not that she had to, but she did pave the way for so many things that, I mean, it's just, it's kind of wild. Like that whole situation with Madonna and Christina Aguilera, like what people's minds are blown.
Yeah. So it's interesting you bring that up, because when I saw that at the VMAs, a part of me felt like, oh my God, Britney's on stage with her idol. Britney loved Madonna growing up. Madonna was a huge influence on Britney Spears. And when I saw them on stage at the VMAs, and I think it was 2005 or 6, I was like, oh my God, Britney must be so excited she gets to perform with Madonna. Then they kissed, and I was like, oh my God, Britney must be like even more excited she gets to kiss Madonna on stage.
Yeah.
But I think that moment is interesting, and I've seen it come up a lot recently because over the weekend, Lil Nas X performed at the BET Awards where he kissed a man on stage, and people freaked out because it's a gay kiss on stage. And there were a lot of memes comparing Lil Nas X to Britney Madonna. And it's like, no, these are kind of two different things. Like, Britney and Madonna, as much as I love both of them, I think they were going for shock value. They were going for performance. I mean, Madonna is the queen of reinventing herself and pushing the envelope. I think what they did was just kind of like a fun, look at us, we're making out kind of moment. Whereas I think Lil Nas X was doing it more to make a, I'm going to say a political statement, because I think he was trying to make a statement about, you know, the LGBT community and pride, or during Pride Month. So I think I've seen a lot of images of that Britney Madonna kiss lately, and back then we were also shocked by it. And nowadays, I think if you saw that on stage, you'd be like, okay, like, yeah, whatever. Like, it is what it is. You know, it's just so funny how things have changed over the past 10 or 12 years. So,
yeah.
Anyway, Britney is iconic. She's had some amazing performances. She's released about 10 or 12 albums so far, had a ton of top 10 records. She's been really successful. And I want to talk about some of her albums that maybe that you loved, or some of your favorite songs of Britney's. Like, what's one of your go-to Britney Spears songs?
Well, okay, so first, my go-to song would probably be Overprotected. I love that song. I feel like it's almost like an ode to, like, there you go, the whole album getting returned. Like, that was like,
yes,
you can my relate. Overprotected. Yeah, totally relate. And then just the Oops, I Did It Again album was awesome. And then I feel like Circus was really, again, iconic. I feel like that word is just, it's just makes sense for her. But that album too, I just remember in high school, because, you know, in 2007, when she had all of that, you know, just everything in the media being blown up, and then her breakdown, she released an album. I don't know how she's doing this. She released Blackout in 07 and then released Circus in 08. I remember thinking, because like there was so much backlash surrounding her and people just talking so much, you know, so poorly about her and just saying, oh, she's not that great. But listening to Circus was just so much of like my high school. Like, I remember just blasting it in the car with my friends, and it just kind of showed, like, you know, you start to get your view twisted a little bit, but then she just like showed up again, and it was like amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Britney has been a pretty prolific artist. She's put out about 10 records in the past 20 years, which is a lot. She's toured around the world multiple times. And she's really been kind of a constant figure in pop culture since she first came on the scene in 1998. When she released Baby One More Time. So Baby One More Time comes out in 1999. Oops, I Did It Again comes out in 2000. Britney comes out in 2001. In the Zone comes out in 2003. So she, within 3 years, 4 years, had four back-to-back records. So she was doing a lot at the start of her career. She came out with Blackout in 2007, which is the same year that she had her mental health issues. Circus was 2008. Followed by Femme Fatale, Britney Jean, and Glory in 2011, 13, and 2016. So she's been producing a lot of records, even throughout her mental health issues. So I want to talk about like some of the records first, and then talk about her mental health issues. Some of my favorite songs, of course, are Oops, I Did It Again. It's a classic pop song, and just, it's so weird. It doesn't really make any sense at all, especially the bridge, oh, you shouldn't have part of the song. It makes no sense.
No sense.
I love it. Even the video is bizarre. Like, is she like on Mars in the video? I don't even know. It's so weird. It makes no sense, but it's just classic Britney. And I love it, and I'm here for it. I'm going to agree with you on the song Overprotected. That's one of my all-time favorites. I'm going to go with the remix version of Overprotected, because I think that is the best remix that is on that record here. And I love I'm a Slave for You. love, love, love that song.
Yep. I also have to add Don't Go Knocking on My Door.
Classic.
Same vein of Oops, I Did It Again. But
Don't Go Knocking on My Door is a banger. That's on the Oops, I Did It Again record. And I'm also going to say Stronger is another excellent Britney song.
Yep.
Love Stronger. Yep. I also love, this is all from the Oops, I Did It Again album. I love Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
My, here's a deep cut. My first ever screen name on AOL was Lucky Girl 31. Directly inspired by, this is a story about a girl named Lucky.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that's a deep cut. I was listening to a lot of Britney back in 2000 when I was on AOL and Instant Messenger. So thanks, Britney, for my first ever screen name. yeah, she's created a lot of really fun songs over the years, a lot of really iconic pop songs. You know, I also really enjoy the In the Zone record. On this record, we've got Toxic. I mean, let's talk about Toxic for a second. One of the most iconic songs, one of the most catchy hooks. I mean, you hear that song anywhere, you know exactly, within 5 seconds, you know exactly what song it is. So I want to highlight Toxic here for a second. It's also one of, I think, her best music videos. Just throwing it out there.
I mean, it's pretty, I mean, again, iconic.
Yes, iconic. She's done a lot, and she's done a lot of these records under the, I'm going to say, shadow of her mental health issues and her conservatorship. Back in 2007, I'm sure you guys know, Britney had a mental breakdown. And it's really interesting, I think, to talk about it now in a post-2020, post-pandemic era, where I think a lot more people are more aware of what it's like to have mental health issues, or what it's like to feel anxious or depressed or lonely or upset or sad. And I want to dive into this a little bit, because I think in 2007, when Britney had her mental health breakdown, she was labeled as crazy. She was insane. She was unfit to be a mother. She was deranged. I mean, every word in the book was said about Britney. And I think it was really unfair. And the events leading up to that mental health breakdown were, you know, her being really young. She got married young. She had two kids almost back to back. And she was always chased by the paparazzi. So I think, I mean, who wouldn't have a mental health breakdown? You know, like what do you remember much about that, Kyla? Like back in 2007 when the media was talking about Britney's breakdown?
Yeah, I mean, it really stands out. I think, you know, the shaving of the head and just like how she attacking the paparazzi car. I mean, those things just stand out so much. And of course, like the way the media presented it was like, look at this girl just losing her mind. And how is she doing this? She has everything, you know? And to be honest, I don't feel like that was the start of like her kind of like cry for help. Because if you like look back into her albums, so much of what she talks about, aside from like this, you know, hard eyes, hard on your sleeve, girl. There's a lot of like, I'm my own person and I can do this myself, like kind of thing. A lot of her songs just reflect that, the need for like her privacy and her ability to like rule her life. Those are like the strongest points I feel like that she has in her songs. So, you know, it's really sad looking at that, because it's like people kind of act like, well, at least at the time they acted like, where did this come from? But, you know, then she comes out with the album Circus, and it's like, well, she's on display, so she is the circus, and this is what this represents. And it's like nobody saw that, and that's really sad, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Britney was for a long time singing about, you know, I'm not a girl, I'm not yet a woman, I'm overprotected, I don't want to be so damn protected. Like, there were hints, like, along the way. Like, she was definitely alluding to this. And I think when she first came on the scene as a teen pop star, she was 15 when Baby One More Time came out. She was a child. And by the time that she had released a couple of records, she was really well known. She was really popular. She was really famous. She was in her early 20s. And I mean, mm-hmm. I think back to when I was in my early 20s, I was so dumb. Like, I was such an idiot. I didn't know really how to mm-hmm. kind of live my life or what I wanted to do or who I was really. So can you imagine being 21, 22 and having the world chasing you and wanting to know your every move and taking photos of you left and right? And then let's bring in the media. I mean, there were tabloids that I think in this era of the early 2000s were very cruel to women, especially people like Britney Spears, Jessica Simpson, Christina Aguilera. There was a lot of, I think in the media, it was a lot of like, this person said this behind their backs. It's this girl against this girl, and they're being catty, and this girl looks like a slut, and a lot of like just really nasty language around mm-hmm. like these young women. And Britney was trying to figure out who she was. She was in her early 20s. She was working full-time as a professional singer, dancer. I mean, she was all over the world. So, you know, I really don't blame her for feeling stressed or feeling upset. I mean, she went through most things at age 21 that most people don't get to experience until maybe they're 40 or 50.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, even in the Wikipedia, I pulled up a Wikipedia just on her, and even in like the descriptions of like what she wore, they talk about her outfit choice as racy. And it's like, why don't we just call it an outfit choice? Like, say that her outfit choice was what triggered people. We don't actually have to provide descriptions for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just like perpetuates that a bit. And then I also think what's interesting too is like, so it's really quite sad. I looked a little bit at like the timeline from 2000 all the way through 2008. It's just like one thing after the other. And working in the mental health field and with families, I can see how this probably just spiraled. And, you know, a lot of the things that she did, like driving with the babies on her lap and things like that, it doesn't look great, but like, it's because it was like tacked on with all of these other things that had happened prior, right? So the world's perception of her was already of this, you know, deadbeat mom who knows what she was doing, kind of thing. And it's like, you know, it's really hard. That's Louis stepping on his chew toys.
No worries.
The dog mom. The other thing too that I thought was really upsetting is, I mean, even Kevin Federline struggled with his own like alcohol and substance abuse, you know, and the judge only ordered random drug screenings
mm-hmm.
from Britney, not him, just like advised him to stop.
Yeah, I think the world came down really hard on Britney.
Yeah.
For what reason? Because she's female? Because she's successful? Yeah.
They were both parents. Yeah. They're both those kids' parents. And maybe because they had multiple, you know, accusations against them and multiple DCF calls, like I can see where some sort of need, you know, for the state to step in would be. But like, come on, let's make this equal. And also like, let's really focus on who this person is rather than like what, you know, it just makes it so much bigger, larger than life when they're already in the media and already so yeah. out there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think people came down really hard on Britney because she was successful, because she had a lot of money, because she was really young. And I think that was happening with a lot of other female artists at this point in time in the media. I think like the general narrative of the media and just of our society back then was like, oh, well, if you wear clothes like that, then you're a slut. You're drawing mm-hmm. attention to yourself. You're being slutty. You're being racy. You're being provocative. And that was kind of bullshit because yeah. like, I mean, artists have expressed themselves for decades and generations. Like it's what they do. They're artists. They express themselves through clothing or through music or through film, whatever it may be. And it was just kind of funny that at that moment in time, society decided to come down hard on people like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and Jessica Simpson. And it's like, why? Yep. Like, they're wearing provocative clothing. So what? She's a 21-year-old woman. A lot of people at that age like to wear clothes like that. And mm-hmm. I think people freaked out when Britney started wearing more, you know, revealing clothing, because people's minds were like, couldn't catch up to what they were seeing. Like, when Britney first was a new artist, she was marketed as this teen queen, very wholesome Southern girl, very sweet accent from the South, you know, religious. In press conferences, reporters asked her repeatedly if she was a virgin. Like, that's none of your business. Like, get out of here. Why would you even ask that? Could you imagine if somebody asked that question nowadays to a Billie Eilish or an Olivia Rodrigo or a Miley Cyrus? Could you imagine what the response would be?
Right. No,
it's crazy. And it's like, I think people were so shocked by Britney when she started wearing more revealing clothing because they didn't picture her like that at first. And I think Taylor Swift had kind of a similar experience. Taylor Swift was this good girl, country singer, blonde hair, Southern accent, kind of the same thing as Britney. And then when Taylor started expressing herself more and made the switch from country to pop music, people were like, whoa, 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 we didn't, that's not who you are. We're going to tell you who you are. And both Britney and Taylor, I think, were like, no, 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 I'm showing you who I am. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. And I think the fans, society, the media, the paparazzi just freaked out. They couldn't handle it.
Yep.
So it's just so unfair. And I think it's really unfortunate that these artists who were young women at the time got the brunt of all these attacks, you know, like NSYNC was out here at the same time, Backstreet Boys doing the same thing, a lot of other male artists who didn't get anywhere near the sort of coverage that these female artists got. So I think it says a lot about like our society and how we treat women in the media and how they're portrayed in the media. I think the media had a big impact on Britney's mental health, and the paparazzi, I think, really messed with her. I mean, she was really young at the time. She was in her early 20s. And in 2007, she had two small children. And I think people forget that in 2007, Britney was only 26. I mean, she had just had two kids. She was being followed around by the paparazzi all the time. I mean, if I were in her shoes, I'd probably also have some mental health issues. So I think back then we didn't give her any credit. I think we talked about mental health in a really poor and uninformed way. I think we've come a lot farther since then, but you know, I just want to give some context to like what Britney was going through back then. And I think, you know, she had every right to be upset.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. And I think it just speaks to our mental health care system and how we support people in community health, and it's definitely lacking at times. So really sad.
It is really sad. So that was 2007. Britney had a mental health crisis. Her kids were taken from her for a short period of time. She went to rehab, and then in 2008 she released a record. So she was back on tour in 2008. It seemed like Britney had made this amazing recovery and was doing a lot better. Little did we know, she had been placed under a conservatorship. So I think we need to talk about this because this has been all over the news lately. But basically the basics here of the conservatorship are Britney's dad has become the basically executor of her finances and her estate. So he controls pretty much all of her money. She controls, you know, things like visitation with her kids. He, you know, controls the issues are, you know, visitation between Kevin Federline and Britney and the kids, and it's pretty messed up. Conservatorships are generally used for people that are cognitively not able to, what's the word I'm looking for? Cognitively impaired, or conservatorships are used for elderly people who have large estates. So Britney does not fit that criteria, obviously. She's a 39-year-old healthy woman. Who is very much able to control her own finances, but she was put in this conservatorship back in 2007, and she's been in it since then.
Yeah, it's a lot. You know, I struggle with this one because I just feel like there's not enough information
about
you know, I want to know more about, I think it's hard because they haven't told us what kind of conservatorship it is. And there's actually a couple of different ones. And then, you know, she's mentioned that she's been forced to be on lithium, which I think is really interesting because it's a mood stabilizer. So, and it's not to be taken lightly at all, because there's some not great side effects. So to me, I really wonder what kind of eval was done and what came of it. You know, I don't know what, if she is diagnosed with something, what was the original conservatorship? Because there is a specific conservatorship that is meant for people with like bipolar or schizophrenia, and it's short term. It's only supposed to last a year. And then once that year is up, then they reappoint, or they reassess essentially to see if the person has been able to carry on with what they with taking care of their basic needs and whatnot. And I think, like, personally, I don't know. And I think we hear what she's saying, and I think that's really important. And I'd really love to know what, you know, you would think that there's like a criteria to be met, and did she meet that? It kind of seems like, based on what she's saying and doing, like, if she's able to perform and create music, like, it seems like she's got the wherewithal to do that. And if she doesn't, then who is, like, putting her out there to do that?
All good questions, and I lay awake at night and think about these things.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I mean, there's a lot that we don't know about the conservatorship. So back in 2007, her father was basically given all control of her estate, of her, you know, performances, of her music. He called the shots. So Britney was performing, and she was releasing records and going on world tours. She had a very successful residency in Las Vegas for a couple years. And it's bizarre because, you know, after 2007, I saw Britney come back and I was like, oh, she's back. She's fine. She's good to go. But right, we didn't know that she was under this conservatorship for the past 13 years. So I think you're right. There's a lot that we don't know about what went on with Britney, what her, you know, psychiatric evaluations were like, what her lifestyle was like. We don't know, like, if she has a good relationship with her kids or her parents or her family now. I mean, there's so many things that we don't know. But what we do know is that she was made to perform a few times, even when she was sick. She was made to take drugs. She was made to attend rehab and undergo counseling, undergo drug tests. Pretty serious consequences for one mental health crisis. So There's a lot we don't know, but from what we do know, I think it's fair to say, hey, this seems like a fairly healthy, very, you know, much put together, very capable person. If she's creating all this music and going on tour, does she really need to be on all these drugs? Like, does she really need all of these rules and regulations about her life? I mean, the conservatorship stipulated that she couldn't drive, she couldn't go to Starbucks, she couldn't go visit her friends, she couldn't have access to her own money.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's everything. It's daily life. I mean, it's, I think it's wrong, but, like, for her dad to say that she can't go off her birth control. Yeah. I see that it legally, that's allowed, but I don't really understand how it pertains to, like, if she has been diagnosed with something, I don't really understand how that pertains to her mental health, except for maybe, like, judgment calls and stuff. But even then, it's like, you know, you read stories about people who have mental breaks and they're getting a psych eval and they're having long stays in, like, the psych ward, and just how they do have, obviously there are moments where you're manic, but there are also moments when you're not. And when people are questioning you 24/7 and not necessarily understanding when you aren't necessarily manic in that moment, like, it's really, you know, I'm sure like that plays a role too. Like I want to know more, but HIPAA's not going to allow it, unfortunately.
That's true. There's a lot we're never going to know about Britney, which is sad.
But, it's really sad.
Yeah, but I think it's you know, the part about the birth control really freaks me out, because if her father is mandating that she keeps an IUD in for birth control for the last 12 mm-hmm. years, I mean, that is really scary to me. So last week, Britney was in court in LA. She was trying to request to get her father's conservatorship, to have him be removed as a conservator on her estate. So it's interesting that she is not requesting for the conservatorship to end. She's just asking for her dad to be removed as the conservator. So
yeah, that is an interesting point. Well, she does also say that she's, well, now I feel like, didn't she mention something like about just her family? Like she used the word family.
Yeah, so she, you know, has been in this conservatorship for 13 years. And up until recently, she has come out and said, I didn't know that I was able to request to get out of the conservatorship. So that also scares right. me as well, because it seems like even though she's been under this arrangement for 13 years, it seems like she is very much kept in the dark on all of the ramifications of this arrangement. If mm-hmm. she didn't even know that she could request to get out of the arrangement, like, did she think she was going to live the rest of her life like this? Like, basically on house arrest?
Yeah. I mean,
it's just, it really scares me. So I think Britney, that's no problem. I think Britney's attorneys maybe were not telling her the full truth of what the conservatorship entails. I think she was probably getting some bad legal advice. And people were around her were probably saying, just stay in it. Just stay in it. Your life is easier this way. But up until recently, she didn't even know that she could request to get out of the conservatorship.
Yeah. Well, and it's not funny, but it's funny because when you look at what a conservatorship is, it's like, it looks so simplistic, right? It's fine. What is it? It says finances and and daily life. I feel like those are the two things that it pinpoints. And it's like, that's a lot. That's everything. Daily life. Like, I mean, for me, I think one of the bigger red flags is the fact that her dad won't let her and her boyfriend get married.
Yeah, she won't even let
because
her drive in the same car with her boyfriend.
Which is wild because, so, and I don't really know enough about the law, but I'm pretty sure marriage in California, your assets, your everything is split 50-50 once you're married.
But if you're Britney, which, you've got a pretty serious prenup if you get married.
Right. But I don't, well, yeah, see, I don't know. But like, so like to me, so like here, it's not like that. Like you're, it's not, I don't think it's the same, right? It's like, mm-hmm. anyway, but to me, that would be a red flag that her dad doesn't want, because I know Britney is a very successful performer, so
yeah,
if she had to split her property 50-50 with her husband, that must impact her father's role, but maybe not. I also don't know how the conservatorship works, you know, in alliance with a marriage, because like
yeah
I don't know. Well, but I think that's weird.
No, you bring up a good point. So Britney's dad, as conservator, he's paid an annual fee to manage her estate. So he has yes. a financial interest in staying as the conservator of her estate. He's making money off of her. He got mm-hmm. a cut of the commission of the money that was made from the Las Vegas residencies. He makes money off of the merchandise she sells, her ticket sales, her record sales, her streams on Spotify. He gets a cut of all of those things. So he has a financial incentive to stay as the conservator of her estate. I think he also has some controlling desire to maintain control of her life through this conservatorship. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre, but I think if Britney were to say she wanted to get married, then that, I think, because she's so wealthy, draws up a whole other batch of legal issues.
Right.
A, she's in a conservatorship. B, she would need a prenup because she's got so much money. So it does, it really concerns me that Brittany has been basically controlled by her dad for the past 13 years. It really is upsetting to see that this very capable, highly skilled woman has been controlled by her dad for the past 13 years. And it makes me sad that I think a lot of people didn't take her mental health issues seriously. And I think her, you know, the media, the paparazzi contributed to her mental health crisis. So there's a lot of things at play here. We don't have time to go into all of those issues, but bottom line is, free Brittany. She deserves to have her time to relax and enjoy her life. She deserves to be in control of her money and her finances. She absolutely deserves to be in control of her body. So Jamie Spears, you can fuck off and free Brittany.
Love it.
Yeah. I get really passionate about these things. I'm like on my soapbox right now, but
I can see you were like rising up and up.
Yeah, I'm just so into this. You know, I was reading the court case last week on June 23rd. It was a weekday. I couldn't do anything at work the rest of the day. I was consumed by this case. I was listening to Brittany's testimony, the audio from the court case. I was shook by this case. It was so much worse than I thought it would be. So, yeah, I just really hope it all works out for her.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. You know, I hope that the judge is taking into consideration, you know, her needs and her best interest. I really hope that.
I hope so too. And if the judge is not taking her best interest to heart, I am sure the judge will hear about it because the movement is powerful.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And we're in a time where I think it's really awesome that we have people who are awake enough to see that there's a need. So
absolutely. Yeah. I think the narrative has totally shifted in the past year regarding how we talk about mental health nowadays and how we talk about artists and how invasive their lives or how invasive or how interested we are in their lives. And social media doesn't help. You know, we're attached to our phones all the time. We can see our celebrities and our favorite artists 24/7. All of it, I think, contributes to a slippery slope when it comes to mental health issues. So
yeah. Yep.
So we love you, Brittany. Free Brittany.
We do. Yep. We Stan love you,
Brittany. Any other things you wanted to add about your love for Brittany before we wind up here, Kyla?
Oh gosh, I think after this, I'm just going to go watch the music videos and just relive some of those moments. I really wanted to go to her residency in Vegas. That would have been so cool.
I saw it.
You did?
It was incredible. It was amazing. She is, say what you will about Brittany, she's a hell of a performer. I mean, woman puts on a show. She's incredible. The dancers were insane. I mean, the costumes were great. She was definitely lip syncing as she does in most of her performances, but she is a really hard worker. She's a really great dancer and the show was really fun. So I've seen her a couple times live over the years. I saw her back in high school, back when she had just released I'm a Slave for You. I saw her in Vegas and she puts on a great show. So
that's awesome. Wow. Well, I'm having FOMO.
Well, let's hopefully one day she will be free from this conservatorship and maybe she'll go back to Vegas and perform.
Yep.
A tour. I'm staying hopeful.
Yeah, that would be fabulous. I will be there.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Well, Kyla, thanks so much for joining us on the Fangirl Podcast today. It was great talking with you about Brittany Spears. Where can people find you if they want to follow you and your adorable dog on Instagram?
Oh, well, my Instagram handle is KYMS5, just KYMS5.
Great. And
that's where I am.
And I've got to ask, how is your adorable pup, Lewis? How's he doing?
He's awesome. He's a pug. He's super cute. He's not going to be too happy with me, though, as we're getting a puppy in a week, Golden Retriever. Yep.
Getting a puppy? Oh my God.
We are. Try not to say it too loud because he's.
Is he going to be a jealous big brother?
He will be for a little bit, but he loves big dogs, so I'm hopeful that they'll become best friends.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be best buds in no time.
Yeah. I hope so too. This was so fun though. Thanks for having me on here. This was a lot of fun.
Come on back anytime. I love talking about music. We'll do this again. We've got all summer ahead of us and lots more to talk about regarding Britney. So come on back anytime.
Yeah. I mean, this story's not over. That's for sure. So.
Oh, we're just getting started.
TB continued.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you guys for listening to the Fangirl Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at the Fangirl Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at the Fangirl Pod, and make sure to listen to us on Spotify and Anchor. You can find us under the Fangirl Podcast on Spotify. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Fangirl Podcast. See ya.
Bye. Bye.